and welcome to Off the Leash with Eliza, the pet business coach. Eliza is an entrepreneur, coach, writer, pet industry expert, recovering corporate junkie, and pet mom. After fleeing her 9-to-5 of 30 years, she launched her own pet sitting and dog walking business, growing it from nothing to six-figure revenue and a dozen employees in less than 2 years. If you love animals and have ever dreamed about making a career out of working with pets, Eliza has your back. She'll give you a practical look at the mechanics of starting and running a pet business, mixed with a no-holds-barred look at the ups, downs, and sideways of making a huge change in your life and finding your true self with a lot of slobbery kisses along the way. Life is short. Don't spend a chain to something that doesn't bring you joy. Here's your host, Eliza, helping you live off the leash.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Off the Leash with the Pet Business Coach. I'm your host, Eliza. I am so excited to be with you today as you're working in the yard, grabbing some me time on the treadmill, in your car, out visiting your furry clients, or wherever you are. I have a really special show for you today. This show is for all those pet sitting and dog walking business owners out there who feel like they never have time off. Those that are afraid to step away from their business for any amount of time, even a day or a few days, because the business will crash and burn without them there. You know who you are, and I know how you feel, because I was there. I got to the point where I was ready to throw in the towel and quit my business, but I didn't. And today, I'm going to walk you through 6 steps to step out of the field and back into your business and into your life. This topic is so near and dear to my heart that I can't wait to share it with you. I think it's going to be an amazing show, so let's get going and let's get off the leash.
Hello, everyone. I am Eliza, your pet business coach, and we are here today to talk about the Petpreneur Freedom Roadmap. We're going to talk about 6 steps to get you out of the field and back into your business and into your life. Now, you started your business to do something you love, to be in charge, to have more freedom in your life, but you may be running into these things. You might not even be able to remember the last time you had a day off, much less a week off or more off. You might be tired of being everybody's backup when something goes wrong in the field and having to jump in to save people. You might desperately need help, but finding, hiring, and training people is taking up too much of your valuable time. You might be tired of telling people and friends and family that you can't be at their party or the dinner or the ball game because you simply can't get away and you have to work. You might dread that phone call from one of your staff that they are either sick, going to be late to the visit, or actually quitting with little or no notice. You might be tired of answering questions from your sitters that you feel like they could have easily worked out for themselves. You might be so busy that you don't have time to enjoy the parts of the job that you love, like spending time with your furry clients. And you might be in a situation where you can't see any relief in sight, and you're wondering if continuing your business is even worth it. You might be tired of feeling chained to your pet sitting and dog walking business, and honestly, you want to take time away without worrying about your business falling apart while you're gone. If you dream of stepping away from your business and having a life, you are in the right place. The reason you're in the right place is that I've been there, I've been where you are, and I can help you. I'm Eliza, your pet business coach. I'm an entrepreneur, international coach, pet industry expert, podcast host, writer, speaker, recovering corporate junkie, and devoted pet mom. But this wasn't my original path in life. I grew up in a pretty traditional household. My dad was in the military and my mom was a homemaker. And there were some of the same hardships that many kids face. A move every couple of years, since we were a military family, made it tough to make friends and have roots. But one thing that was always a constant in my life was education. I knew from the moment I started first grade that I was going to go to college. So I did that. I worked hard in college and I graduated and I landed a job with a great company soon after. My salary and my responsibility grew rapidly until I reached what I thought I'd always wanted. The six-figure income, the corner office, all the things that come with a high-powered corporate job. I had all the stuff that I thought I wanted, but it came at a price. And that price was my freedom. I was working 70 to 80 hours a week, and I was just keeping my head above water. I was mentally and physically exhausted. More than exhausted, I felt empty. I felt like there had to be more to life than this. I knew I needed to make a change, and that change turned out to be entrepreneurship. I loved animals, so I told my husband that I wanted to walk dogs for a living. 1 year later, I quit my corporate job to work full-time in my pet sitting and dog walking business, and I grew that business to a thriving company in less than 18 months, with well over six figures in revenue and a dozen employees. I loved my company, and I loved working with my furry clients, but I was still working 70 to 80 hours per week. I felt stuck. I was dangerously close to throwing in the towel and heading back to the traditional 9-to-5 world. So I was desperate to keep my pet business, but I just couldn't see how I was going to survive at my current workload. I felt like I never had time off and that I was missing out on my life. My health was suffering. My business was suffering. I had to find a solution fast. I did a lot of research and a lot of soul searching, and I realized that I needed to get out of my business. I don't mean close the business. I mean I needed to be the owner of the business and not the employee. I needed to have the freedom to step away for a day, a week, or even months if I wanted to. So I started hiring. I knew I needed to hire. I started hiring more people, even more people, and that worked to a point. But it wasn't long before I realized that simply hiring more people wasn't enough. I needed to build a framework composed of policies, processes, and systems that would allow my business to run without me. I needed to step away from my business without worrying that everything would fall apart. So that's what I did. In 2020, I moved halfway across the country with my business still in on the other side of the country, and I drastically reduced the number of hours I was working and gained back my life. So I ran my business remotely. I was able to do this because I had developed the infrastructure I needed to ensure the business could run without me, and I can help you do that too. The truth is, you should be running your business, not the other way around. Your business should not be running you. So what does that mean exactly? It means that you feel confident taking time away from your business. It means that you can run your business from anywhere you want, even if that place is a beach in Mexico with a nice fruity drink. It means that you know that you have systems that will manage and grow your business while you're gone. The reality is that running your own business is amazing. It's awesome. It's a blessing. But it's also a burden sometimes. And sometimes setting long-range goals that drive your business forward rather than firefighting on a day-to-day basis seems almost impossible to you. What ends up happening is you feel like you only work in your business and not on your business. And because you feel that way, you get more and more frustrated and burnt out. So that's what we're going to address today. We're going to talk about the six steps to get out of the field and back into your business and your life. My process is composed of six steps. Step one is setting boundaries. Step two is changing your mindset. Step three is creating policies and procedures. Step four is marketing your people. Step five is sourcing, hiring, and onboarding people. And step six is creating systems. And this is a proven step-by-step framework to get you out of your business and back into your life. So let's start with step one. Step one is setting boundaries. And this is really laying the foundation for you to have time for yourself and to work on the business. Now, why do I start with boundaries? There's a couple of reasons I start with boundaries. The first one is I want to head off burnout. If you're watching this video, chances are that you feel like you're always working or always on, that you're never off, even for an evening or for a few hours. So boundaries are the first step toward creating some semblance of work-life balance. And the second reason that I start with boundaries is that we need to clear some space for you to work on your business. Now, two things are true. The first thing that's true is we are all caregivers at heart. The second thing that's true is we want our businesses to succeed. Now, because of these two truths, something happens. We hate saying no to clients, to late night visits, to weekend phone calls, to last minute requests. We hate saying no to anything. And setting these boundaries is what allows us to be able to start saying no. Now, there are different types of boundaries, and the different boundaries serve different purposes. Client boundaries ensure realistic expectations and healthy relationships. So an example of a client boundary would be a late booking policy. Employee boundaries set guidelines for productivity and behavior. So an example of an employee boundary would be a time off policy. And finally, personal boundaries are safeguards for your work-life balance and your mental well-being. So a personal boundary might be your latest visit policy, the very latest point in the evening where you will start a pet sitting visit. Now, I always like to talk about some pitfalls with each of these steps as well. So these are things that hopefully you can avoid as you're implementing some of these steps and boundaries. First pitfall in this one is other people blow through your boundaries and you let them. And the second pitfall is you ignore your own boundaries. Boundaries are only as good, even the best written boundary is only as good as your adherence to it. So once you've got these boundaries in place, the key is holding to them, not letting people walk all over them and not throwing them out yourself for a variety of reasons. You know, we all have an excuse when we throw out our own boundaries. It might be that, hey, it's a friend, it's an old existing client that I've had forever. I can do it just as once. It's not that big of a deal. You've all heard the excuses in your own heads probably, but we have to make sure that we are protecting ourselves and those boundaries are the way to do it. All right, step number two. Step number two is changing your mindset. So in this one, you want to actually believe that you can achieve a healthy work-life balance. A lot of us say we want to get a healthy work-life balance, but we just don't achieve it because we don't really believe it. So Albert Einstein once said that you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. So we need to create a different mind. Many of you have probably heard of the law of attraction. And the law of attraction is a philosophy that suggests that positive thoughts bring positive results into a person's life, while negative thoughts bring negative outcomes. In other words, a positive mindset will attract more success and happiness than a negative one. Now, the other thing, the other part to keep in mind with that is that nature abhors a vacuum. What I mean by that, and in relation to the law of attraction, nature abhors a vacuum. So the law of attraction suggests that removing negative things from your life can make space for more positive things to take their place. And this is based on the notion that it's impossible to have a completely empty mind. And in your life, you never have a completely empty mind, since something will always fill the space in your mind it's important to fill that with positivity. So how do we do this? We do that through manifesting the reality that you want. And manifestation is the combination of goal setting, visualization, and affirmations. Once we do that, once we start getting into the right mindset, how do we keep that? Well, that's a simple answer. This is a skill, and every skill gets better and gets cemented as you practice it. So you need to do it every single day. Spend some time every day getting yourself into the right mindset. So a couple of pitfalls for this. The first pitfall is getting complacent. You know, once you start meditating and getting into the right mindset, it's awesome. And once you get to that point, you start feeling like, oh, I've got this. I don't need to do this every day. I can just set it and forget it, and I will go off in my positive direction without any practice. And that's dangerous. If you get complacent, you will lose it. And the other thing is, when you do get complacent, you start to go back to your old ways. You start to go back to your negative mindset. And when you do that, you tend to get a little down, and you start to wallow when you get down. And when you wallow, when you get a little bit upset or depressed, you have even less motivation to do that mindset setting every day. So those are two pitfalls to watch out for. All right, let's talk about step number three. Step number three is creating policies and procedures. Now, this is all about implementing policies and procedures for consistent quality and service, and consistent is a key word there. So let's talk a little bit about the difference. First of all, a little nomenclature. Let's talk about the difference between policies, processes, and procedures. A policy sets the goal. A process provides the broad steps to get to that goal. And a procedure, which is a how-to document, tells us exactly how to complete each step in the process. So here's an example. A policy might be, any cancellations must be made at least 48 hours before the first visit starts. A process related to that might be, you need to, it's the step that we need to follow. So it might be taking the booking or processing the booking and making the changes. And then finally, a procedure. Remember, a procedure is a specific set of instructions that you follow in order to complete a particular task or a step in the process. So, for example, to take the booking, you might need to collect certain information from the client, log into your booking software, and enter the information. Now, there are client-facing, employee-facing, and administrative procedures and policies. And it's helpful when you're writing these to break them out into these groups, because you do need policies and procedures in all three of these categories. So an example of a client-facing procedure might be how to book a pet sitting visit. An example of an employee-facing policy might be how to submit a time card. And an example of an administrative policy might be how to enter in a new client into your pet sitting management software. Now, a couple of pitfalls with this: incorrect use or non-use of procedures. A lot of people write their procedures and they never look at them. That's non-use. So it doesn't help to write them and never look at them. That's a pitfall. Another pitfall might be overly complicated documents. It's very easy to write a document yourself and think that it's perfectly clear, when in reality, it is not clear to everyone else. So there are definitely some things you can do to make sure that the documents are clear. And then the final pitfall is, many businesses are long on policies and short on procedures. And what I mean by that is, a lot of businesses have their set of policies. It's generally the list of policies that they provide to their clients, either on their website or in their meet and greet. But they don't have, that's pretty solid, but they don't have a lot of procedures. They rely on their minds and their memory to remember how to do all of the steps in their processes. And they don't have written procedures because of it. All right. Step four is marketing to your people. So this is really how to market your business to the right people, in the right place, in the right way. So what do I mean by this? The first thing you want to do with marketing to your people is you want to identify and find your people. So who is your ideal client? I call it your client avatar, and that's just another name for your ideal client. And when you're defining who your ideal client is or your client avatar, you want to take a look at things like demographics, geographics, where are they geographically, and psychographics. And most people know what geographics and demographics are, but psychographics are something that a lot of people don't know about or ignore. Psychographics is the qualitative methodology of studying consumers based on psychological characteristics and traits, such as values, desires, goals, interests, and lifestyle choices. Psychographics in marketing focuses on understanding the consumer's emotions and values so you can market more accurately to them. Now, once you have created your client avatar, and you know who your ideal client is, and you know where you want to market to them, you want to create procedures. And you're gonna see, I keep coming back to this concept of creating written procedures. You're gonna create written procedures for your marketing activities, for all the things that you do. You know, you have in-person marketing, you have social media marketing, you have email marketing. You want to create procedures for all of your marketing actions. And then, and this is key, you want to train your people to these procedures, because ultimately you do not want to be the one that continues to do these marketing activities. Maybe some of you do, but most people don't love marketing, selling and marketing. So the end goal here is to have procedures. Once you've created your ideal client, you can, based on those, you can write procedures on all of your marketing activities, train your people to them, and you can step back from the process. Now, a couple of pitfalls here. No processes. There's a lot of people who, and this was me, will say, I hate selling, so I approach it kind of randomly. My marketing is kind of hit or miss, and sometimes I do it over here, and sometimes I do this, and sometimes I don't because I don't feel like it, and I don't have anything written down. That's pretty common, and that's okay because it's fixable, but this is a pitfall. The other pitfall might be that you have too many channels. You do not want to overcomplicate your marketing activity. So I talk to a lot of clients who have 6 or even 7 social media channels that they're marketing on. And this is it's prohibitive and unwieldy. There is no way that you can effectively keep up that many channels. And when you try to train other people to do it, they're going to encounter the same problems that you are. And then the third pitfall is inconsistency. And this relates to too many channels. If you're trying to sell in too many channels, you're not going to be great at any of them. You're going to be inconsistent in that selling and marketing. So you want to scope it down so that you can actually market effectively, so that the people you train to do your marketing activity can do it effectively. All right, step number 5, sourcing, hiring, and onboarding. So we talked, and this is all about setting up your talent acquisition so that you always have people in your pipeline. So let's talk first about where to look for employees. Now, we talked about client avatars. There is also such a thing as employee avatars. This is the other side of the coin. So employee avatars, as you can imagine, are a definition of your ideal employee. And you want to define them the same way you define your client avatar. You want to look at the geographics, the demographics, and the psychographics. And then by defining these things for your ideal employee, you know where they hang out. And then you get into hiring them. And a lot of people I talk to tend to use one vehicle for hiring. Indeed.com is super popular. And most people, when they're putting out their job advertisement, they're putting it out on Indeed.com and no place else. Or they're using just one single source. And just like marketing to clients, this is an area where you should diversify. But you can do it smartly based on your employee avatar. You can target your job advertisements based on your avatar to where you know your ideal employee is hanging out. Now, once you hire them, you need to onboard them. And you don't just want to You don't want to just say, okay, you're hired, you start Monday, be here at 8 o'clock. You do need to take care of some of the administrative and paperwork needs, but you also need to take care of their emotional needs. You want them to be excited about coming to work for you. So definitely do an in-person phone call to offer them the job and then follow it up with a written job offer and give them a clear idea of what comes next in the process, because you want them to feel excited and comfortable about the process and not feel like they don't know what's coming next. Now, once you've actually hired them, you also need to onboard them and keep them long term. And onboarding, you know, often people think onboarding ends with a few days of shadow training and setting them loose in the field. But in reality, onboarding is an ongoing process, and it involves, especially for the first 2 to 6 weeks, involves a lot of hand-holding, checking in with the person, course-correcting if needed, and generally being there and involved with them. And that sets them up for becoming a long-term productive employee with you. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, and this is key, and again, you're going to hear me mention this a lot. You want to, once you've defined your ideal employee and you've gotten a few hires under your belt, you want to write procedures for all parts of your sourcing, hiring, and onboarding process. And this is usually something the businesses don't have in place because they tend to do all this hiring themselves. But remember, you're trying to step out of the field, so you need other people to be able to do this, your sourcing, hiring, and onboarding processes for you. And to do that, you have to have SOPs. And SOPs are standard operating procedures for them to follow and for you to train them to. And finally, step number six. Step number six is creating systems. This is really where you develop foolproof systems that work seamlessly with easy-to-use technology. And let's talk a little bit about technology for a minute. Now, there is a lot of technology out there. I'm not a tech person, but I use technology in my business. And there are a few simple technologies that everyone should be using, whether you're a tech person or not, to help you automate and step away from your business. The first one, and these are in order of importance. First one is some sort of pet business scheduling and management software. This is where you can keep track of your clients, book your visits, schedule your invoicing, send messages to clients. The software is a lot of different pet sitting softwares out there that do these things for not very much money. The second one is some sort of communication software. Now, when I was running my business, we used Slack, which is a wonderful group texting app. And we used Slack for all of our internal communication. So all the communications between sitters, between me and the sitters and my managers was all through Slack. And it was fantastic. The third software I'd recommend is some sort of email management software. If you are going to do email marketing, and I strongly suggest you do email marketing, it is almost impossible to do without some sort of email management software. And then the fourth one I recommend is, and this is voluntary or optional, some sort of client management or CRM software. CRM stands for customer relationship management software. And this is somewhere where you can keep all of your contacts and your clients and all the information about them, make notes on them. It's a tremendously useful piece of software. Now, these don't have to be complicated or expensive. There's many, many options out on the market for all four of these. In general, you can usually start with a free version, or they might even offer a free trial, test it out to see how you like it. And then if you want to move on to the paid version, you can do that. But they are not hard to use, and there are many, many options. All right, so once you have some software in place, you want to think about things in terms of systems. So systems are combinations of policies, procedures, and technology all working together. So once you've gotten through these steps, once you've got your policies, your procedures, and your technology in place, you've got your systems. So once you do have your systems, you want to test the systems. And what I mean by testing them is to step back and let them work. So you've set up these systems so that they can work without you, or at least without all of you. You need to give that a shot. So step back for a day or maybe 2 days and see how things work. Now, nothing's going to be perfect. It's a trial run, right? So you want to step back, let the system go, let the mistakes or glitches be made, note them, come back, make changes or updates in the places you see that didn't flow too smoothly, and then retest them. Once you're at a point where you've tested your systems and you feel confident that they're running pretty smoothly, and they'll never be perfect, right? But you definitely want to get them to about 90%. Once you've gotten there, you simply need to get out of the way. And that is where you are able to find your freedom and step away from your business. Now, a couple of pitfalls to this. One pitfall is that people tend to stay too involved, right? These are our babies. We grew these businesses from nothing. We are fearful of letting go of control of our business. And we're entrepreneurs, right? We tend to have trust and control issues. So staying too involved is a real danger in this. And the other pitfall here is setting them and forgetting them. Processes, technology, and systems are not a set it and forget it kind of thing. They evolve. So there will be changes and upgrades and tweaks that need to be made. And you can't just walk away from your business forever and expect it to keep running flawlessly, even if you left it running flawlessly. All right. So those are the six steps. And I have good news and I have bad news for you. The bad news is that finding your freedom, implementing these steps, does take work. The good news, however, is that you do not have to do it alone. I have a program, Unleash You, the Petpreneur Freedom Blueprint, that gives you a proven step-by-step framework to feel confident taking time away from your business. So what do you get in this program? Well, first you get one-on-one support. So you get bi-weekly, this is a three-month program, you get bi-weekly one-on-ones with me to walk you through each step, answer all your questions, and customize the plan specifically for your business. You can benefit from someone who's been there and done that successfully. Remember, I set my business up to move halfway across the country and run it from an entirely different place. The next thing you get is accountability. We have customized action plans, so you will receive weekly action lists curated to propel you forward toward your goal. We also have office hours. So in addition to the bi-weekly one-on-ones with me, you can join us for weekly dedicated office hours, group office hours, where you can ask questions and receive guidance for where you are in your journey. And there's accountability check-ins. You can stay on track, you will stay on track with weekly email check-ins to ensure progress and accountability at every step. And there's bonus material. There are how-to and tip videos each week. There are ready-made, customizable policies and procedures, so you do not have to start from scratch on these things. There are workbooks, tutorials, exercises, and templates all over the place to make all of these steps easier for you. And finally, you get community support. You will get access to our private Facebook group where you can connect with fellow business owners facing similar challenges. So you might be wondering, will this work for me? Well, Unleash You, the Petpreneur Freedom Blueprint, was designed for pet sitting and dog walking business owners who feel unorganized, feel like they're lacking in structure, like they're reinventing the wheel every time they do something, and like they're feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with their business. It's for those who have a few, or even no procedures in place in your business right now. It's for those who are overwhelmed with where to start and what you need to do. And it's for those who want more freedom but don't see a way to step back from their business. I believe I can help you. I have done this. I have been there. I have successfully stepped back from my business and reclaimed my life.
So, if you are ready to start living your life again and loving your business again, here's how you can find out more. You can go to thepetbusinesscoach.dog/unleashyou/. And unleash you is spelled UNLEASHU. That's thepetbusinesscoach.dog/unleashyou/. There you can learn all about the program, or you can schedule a free call with me to find out whether this program is a right fit for you. That's thepetbusinesscoach.dog/unleashyou/. I'll put that link in the show notes too. The real question is, where do you want to be 3 months from now? I found my freedom, and because of that, I saved my business. And I can help you do it too.